Hello, friends. Today's episode, we are going to jump into Ignatian prayer. So last week, we spoke about St. Ignatius of Loyola and his spiritual exercises. So today, we are going to look at two methods of his that I believe everyone, and it's not just me, many people believe that everyone should incorporate into their own spiritual practice. I'm a big fan of these two methods, and I hope they speak to you. Thank you so much for your support. And as always, if you would like show notes or any other bonus content I post daily, please join the Patreon or simply leave me a good review or follow me on social media. Thank you for all your support and enjoy. Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I am your host, W. So last week we spoke about the great saint and founder of the Jesuits, St. Ignatius of Loyola. And today we're going to add to that. What I've been trying to do in this series so far is once we talk about a mystic, then we talk about their mysticism. And Ignatius is a good one because he actually gives us a way to practice contemplative prayer, to practice mystic prayer. And as we discussed last week, Ignatius is known for his use of thought, his use of imagination, to see how God is speaking to him. Remember, he was bedridden, he was laying in bed, and he would use his imagination to daydream about the tales of knights, and then he would daydream about the books on the saints that he was reading. And in discerning those two spirits, he found himself more pulled to one and the other. And then later, he spent time as a hermit in the cave in Manresa, and he did various exercises to, one, try to discern his vocation. What is the next step in my spiritual life? But then also he was receiving messages. So I think that this is what I'm supposed to do. But how do I know if this is from my ego, from the devil, or from God? And these exercises will be written down into this book called The Spiritual Exercises, which is still practiced today in retreat form around the world. So today, let's talk about the spiritual exercises as a whole, but then more specifically and more importantly, how we can take some of those concepts and use them in our own life, in our own spiritual practice, maybe not necessarily in the confines of a retreat. I do recommend Ignatian retreats if you can make one. I personally have not done one, but I have many friends and colleagues who have. And it is a 30-day retreat, so not everyone can do that, though there are some that are weekend retreats or week-long retreats. But these exercises we will discuss towards the end of this episode will highlight some ways we can bring them down to everyday life. So what are the spiritual exercises? What's the layout look like? Well, they are built into 4 weeks, and I'm using air quotes when I say weeks because it's really 4 stages. As I said, some retreats will do it in a weekend where instead of this being 4 weeks, they might do 4 days or two stages in 2 days, so it's really 4 stages. So the first week is all about meditating upon the boundless love of God and how sin pushes us away from God. As I've said before, I prefer to use the terminology in the Eastern Church, the Eastern Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox Church, which says that sin is a stain. I think it's also biblical as well. And that stain makes it more difficult to see and feel God and interact with God, both in heaven, but here on earth. So we meditate on that first stage, that first week, on God's love and how our stains, our sins, hinder us from feeling that love. And that first week will end with a meditation on Christ's call to follow him. That second week or second stage is when we start reflecting on scripture passages. So Christ's birth and baptism, the Sermon on the Mount. And here is where we start discerning maybe messages we might hear and feel from those scripture passages. So think about the episode on Lectio Divina. Think about the description of meditation in that episode we did on mystical prayer. Now we're starting to feel that. And this second week is kind of an exercise going through scripture. The third week or third stage specifically, we're meditating upon Christ's Last Supper, his passion and his death. And we see his suffering and the gift of the Eucharist as an expression of this love. And then in the final stage, we meditate on the resurrection and his apparitions to his disciples. And we walk with the risen Christ and set out to love and serve him in concrete ways. So as you can see, these four stages open us up to the path of contemplative prayer. Focal prayer, meditation, contemplation. So each stage, each week, we are met with that. The first week, we discuss God's love. We meditate upon God's love. First week is kind of a primer. The second week, now we're adding scripture. And we do this Lectio Divina type exercise where we read it, we reflect, what is God trying to tell me here? Just in general. Third week, though, that's when we get into the suffering. What am I supposed to learn right now about Christ's suffering? And how does it affect my life, too? Like we mentioned in the Lectio Divina episode. Yes, it is about what is Christ trying to tell me about Christ, but what is Christ trying to tell me about my life as well? When we meditate upon Christ stumbling and Saint Simeon helps him carry the cross, we start to reflect, well, what cross am I carrying right now and who in my life is there to help me that maybe I'm pushing away? So on and so forth. In that fourth week, maybe we've come to a conclusion with the risen Christ. So it's all there. It's about going through those exercises and going through contemplation. And really that's how the structure of the exercises work. But what I really want to talk about today is the heart of these exercises, the heart of this prayer, which I'm calling Ignatian prayer for simplicity, but it's really imaginative prayer. Because St. Ignatius of Loyola taught that God can speak to us through our imagination and through our thoughts. And you may think this is a dangerous tactic, right? How do we know it's what God wants versus what we want, right? How do I know I'm not just making this up and going through my ego? And this is why it is a retreat with a spiritual director. That spiritual director is going to spend time with you personally, but also that first stage and that second stage, it's kind of exercises in discernment, exercises in contemplation. So you're already kind of connecting with the Holy Spirit and having that good formed conscience. However, when we talk about God speaking to us through imagination, we also have to frame it appropriately. Because yes, we might go into an Ignatian retreat or some of the exercises we're going to talk about today, and we might want a very specific answer. God, should I quit my job, right? And now we might be looking for things for God to say yes or no when we start going through these imaginative exercises. And that's fine. I think that's totally fine. However, more so what we should do is we should go and not really ask a question. It should be, God, what do I need to know about my next step? And then it might get a little deeper. You're going to open yourself up to more things and more imagery and more ways. God might not answer that question. God might want you to focus on something else, so something else might come altogether. And also, even if you do choose a wrong path, God is not going to leave you. He's going to be there with you and walk with you through it. There's a reason, even then, in which you're choosing that. And this is why meditation is important as well, right? So meditation in a Catholic or Christian context, that term, it is a little more intellectual than how we are going to say, you know, Vipassana meditation or mantra meditation, right, in the East. Meditation is kind of a matter of the intellect. To quote or to paraphrase St. Francis de Sales, meditation is the bee going from flower to flower, studying the flowers, while contemplation is when the honey is produced. So meditation is building up our arsenal of imagery, our arsenal of understanding. Because as you'll see, when we start reflecting on scriptural passages, and this is true for our episodes on meditation and prayer and Lectio Divina, it's good to have something in your toolkit, right? Context is important, right? I see that a lot when I'm doing Lectio Divina, or me and a friend maybe discussing a biblical passage, and it's like, yes, that this phrase is standing out to us, but let's look at it in context. And because I know that context, now we can pull something from the Psalm, something from the Old Testament. So meditation is important here too. That way, we have a little more to go with when we start seeing these imagery pieces in our mind. That's going to make a lot more sense in a moment. But the main point here is that when we use our imagination to hear God, it's not always that yes or no experience. And sometimes you're going to just gain insight on your spiritual maturity. And in building that spiritual maturity, it's going to help inform those decisions. So sometimes it's better to just jump in with that open mind. All right, so let's talk about imaginative prayer, Ignatian prayer, or actually what it's called in the exercises is application of the senses. It's formal name. So just a note, as I've kind of already said, but I want to say it again, the Ignatian exercises, they're meant to be done in a retreat, and each exercise quite often blends into other exercises. So, you know, stage one needs to set the stage before we get to stage four. But these concepts, they're part of a larger system. So I'm choosing these, though, these two, because they can be done individually. And a lot of writers and authors do recommend what I'm saying. I'm not making this up. I'm not pulling something from the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola and saying, here's how W recommends you hijack it. Not at all. This is coming from other spiritual retreat leaders. Father James Martin talks about it. Anthony DeMello talks about it. Two great examples in tradition, if you know about those guys. But other Jesuit leaders and teachers personally that I know also recommend this in my life. So application of the senses is the first. And like I said, this is the hallmark. This is imaginative prayer. And the scripture we use. So first we... In essence, we're going to choose a piece of scripture and really put ourselves in there. And like I said, the retreat leader and also St. Ignatius, they choose certain scriptural passages and they read them in a certain order for a reason. And they're usually meant to guide us through something. However, I'm going to recommend a few certain passages that I think we can reflect on that I think are kind of evergreen. The one that's often given as an example of imaginative prayer is we're going to put ourselves in the boat as Christ calms the storm. That's one. But really, honestly, the others, the mysteries of the rosary, those are the other ones that are really great for putting ourselves in there. And I'm including the luminous mysteries too. So the wedding at Cana, so on and so forth. So the passion, the birth, and then some of those miraculous stories from Christ's life, I think are really powerful to use here. So here's how we do application of the senses, imaginative prayer. It's pretty simple. So we imagine ourselves in a gospel story, but we're really going to focus on all of the senses. What do we see? What do we hear? What do we feel? What do we taste? What do we smell? And we really take our time visualizing these things around us. And then when we are ready, we listen. We listen to what God is trying to say to us. We pick out the things we notice and we reflect or meditate upon what that's trying to tell us. Maybe it's the tone of Jesus' voice or the look in Mary's eyes. If we go deeper, maybe it's a conversation two apostles are having. We really meditate upon those images. Now, it's not uncommon for people to say we can even go and talk to Jesus, to Mary, to the apostles, other figures in this moment, and literally see what they have to say to us. Yes, we can ask them specific questions about our journey, though it's recommended, as I've said, to really just speak to them and enjoy the scene and see what we can pull from it. And then afterwards, we may choose to journal, write it down, or speak about what we've learned and how it's going to help us in our current journey, in our current troublesome situation. All right, so let's do a quick, very quick example. I would now invite you, if you can, if you're driving, please don't do this. Close your eyes. I'd like to invite you to imagine yourself on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Now take a moment to think, what does this boat look like? Is it big or is it small? How many people are on the boat around you? We know the apostles are there. How many more? Now let's go deeper. What is the color of the boat? Does it have sails, or is it moved by paddles, or both? Are you tightly compacted in, or is there room for you to walk around? What's the color of the clothing being worn by the others in the boat? Taking a step back out of the boat, what are the colors that you see of the ocean, of the sea? Is it dark and choppy? Is it clear and serene? What about in the distance? Can we see the shore from where we are? And what does it look like on the shore? Can we see people? Can we see structure? Are there other boats around us? And what about the sky? Now remember, soon a storm will be running in. Spoiler alert. So what does the sky look like right now? Is it blue? Is it gray? Can you see the storm clouds yet, or are they creeping in? Back into the boat. What is on the floor of the boat? Are there nets? If so, do the nets have fish already in them? And where is Jesus? He's often depicted wearing white while everyone else is wearing different colors. But what is he wearing right now in your mind? How does he look? Does he look any different than anyone else? Let's go into feeling, go into touch. Where are your hands right now? Are they on your sides? Are they leaning against the side of the boat? Your feet. What are your feet wearing? Sandals or barefoot? How does your feet feel on the bottom of the boat? What about the sun? Can you feel it on your skin? We're on a sea. The wind is likely beginning to pick up. What does that feel against your skin? Is it warm? Is it cool? The waves are splashing. Can we feel the mist as it enters the boat? If we're packed in, are we feeling someone huddled against us? And of course, how does the boat feel? As the wind picks up, are we rocking? And how heavy are we rocking? As far as taste goes, can we taste the salt of the water as it splashes in the boat? As far as smells go, we are cramped in a boat, or maybe even far apart. Does it smell like fish? Can we smell the others around us? Can we smell the salt in the air? Even the feeling inside of our nose when we take an inhale, is it warm? Is it cool? Is it damp? Is it dry? And now the sounds. Are there birds flapping their wings and squawking in the distance? Remember that a storm is coming in. Can we feel and hear the thunder in the distance? Can we hear the rain starting to come down? And what about the chattering in the boat? Are they whispering? Are they yelling? Or are they silent? Can we hear the waves lapping into the boat? Put yourself there and take a moment. Everything you've heard, take it all in. Put yourself there. Imagine all that you've imagined, and the storm is coming in. Imagine all you feel, see, hear. You see a few men huddled together whispering. I'm going to speak very abstractly now so you can fill it in with your mind and your thoughts and your version of these events. One of the men huddled walks over to Jesus sitting at the front of the boat. Again, imagine how he is sitting, how he looks. Imagine the boat and the surroundings. The man whispers into Jesus' ear. Fill in the blank there about specifically what was said and the manner in which it was being said. Christ gets up and says something back to the man. How does Christ look? Happy, annoyed, troubled. You see Jesus go to the top of the boat and points and commands the storm to stop. And it does. Now, in that moment, how does it look? What can you hear? What can you see? What can you smell? Is it silence? Is it awe? What is it? This was a very short version, but I want you to hang on to something. Hang on to where your mind took you, something that stood out in your own imagination. Could have been how something looked, felt. It could have been an emotion that bubbled forth during a certain event. And sit with that. Contemplate on that. And what is it telling you about you, your life, and something you may be struggling with? Maybe Christ looked annoyed as he stood up and walked over and stopped the storm and kind of shook his head like, you fool, do you not trust me? Which is generally the way that that scripture is read. Maybe that's telling me that I am scared right now because I am trying to steer the ship in which God is in control of. Maybe I felt a pull to be the one to speak to Jesus myself, but I was too scared. What is that telling me? Am I too scared to go to him? Sit with what you have uncovered. And that is Ignatian prayer. Of course, there is more to it, and I would recommend maybe a longer story and to really sit and place yourself there. And as we discussed, maybe you're going to the Sermon on the Mount. Really putting yourself in the Sermon on the Mount and seeing how those Beatitudes speak to us differently when we're there on the Mount. And maybe afterwards we pull Jesus himself aside and ask, which Beatitude should I focus on the most? So feel free to take this into your own practice. This is essentially Lectio Divina, but really immersing ourselves in it. And this is also, to me, what we should do when we pray the Rosary as well, rather than to an extent, rather than just repeating the Rosary, pulling spiritual fruits out of it is also great, but really putting ourselves in that scenario with all of our senses and then pulling out those fruits, which, yes, might be something that could take 20, 30 minutes per mystery, but it's important. It's important. So this is a mode of contemplative prayer. So after we do this, we sit and we enjoy the feeling that we are left with. So to put this in the contemplative framework, right? Vocal prayer would be maybe reading the passage beforehand, maybe. Meditation is what we just did. Right? It's what we just did, walking through, meditating on what we see, what we feel. Then there's probably something intellectual we can do. Maybe it's speak through it, like we've discussed in the Lectio Divina episode. Maybe it's writing something down. And then it's making a resolution. Okay, here's what I've learned. And now sit. Sit in silence. Feel God's love wash over you. And make a resolution that you will keep that with you. It's a beautiful thing. All right. So that is application of the senses, also called imaginative prayer, also what I kind of blanketly call Ignatian prayer. So the next is a really cool one that I think I haven't heard many people speak about this at all, but it is in the book, The Spiritual Exercises, and it's what he calls the third way of prayer. And this is really reminiscent of Eastern Christian practices of like hesychasm, which we will be doing an episode on, and also general Eastern meditation like mantra meditation. So this is in the Spiritual Exercises book. It's in a section called Additional Material. So it's overlooked, but I really like it. And this is another simple but powerful prayer tool. Very, very simple. So hang on to your seats for this one. So you choose a well-known prayer, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and you sync it with rhythmic breathing. So inhale, Our, exhale, Father. Inhale, who art, exhale, in heaven. And you can play with the rhythm there. One can also pray the words between those two breaths. So inhale, and right before you exhale, Our. So inhale, R, exhale, which is a little more intricate. That is very Eastern, though. It is very Eastern concept. In Zazen and Vipassana, you're supposed to find space between the breath. So it's very Eastern. And this likely has to do with the large Sufi influence, though. You see a lot of the Christian Catholic Spanish mystics have some elements of Sufism in their teachings. There's a little bit of it in John of the Cross and his writings, but Ignatius of Loyola was also a Spaniard. So you see that in his practice. You see this focusing on the breath there, and there is some Sufi mysticism that I think is a link there. But this also mirrors the Eastern Christian practice of hesychasm, which was around hundreds and hundreds of years before Ignatius. And that is, many people know it as like the Jesus prayer, where we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, but we link it with our breath. A lot of times people just say, as we do in Western Christianity, people just say pray without teaching us how to pray. But hesychasm in its purest form, there's more to it. There's actually a posture you sit in. You actually look at your belly, your stomach, your navel, and you watch your stomach rise and fall with your breath. And in the inhales and exhales, you do the Lord, Son of God, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me with your inhales and exhales. Usually, Lord, Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, inhale, exhale, have mercy on me. We're going to do a full episode on it. But this mirrors those styles of prayer. And I also really like it, though, because if you recall, the first step of contemplative prayer, which we should all be doing, is vocal prayer. But if you also look at other systems or explanations, vocal prayer isn't just what we do before we get into meditation and contemplation. It's an invocation. It's an invocation to God. So, of course, our vocal prayer can be something that is a true invocation. Lord, open my lips, my mouth will proclaim your praise. Oh, God, come to my assistance. Oh, Lord, make haste to help me. There's many of them, and I think that's beautiful. But there's also, to me, an invocation that needs to be done spiritually and mentally to get ourselves into a mental state of prayerfulness. And I think linking your breathing is going to calm down your nervous system to a point where you can have a more clear mind and have a better prayer experience. Am I saying it's necessary to calm yourself and do certain bodily postures for contemplative prayer? Absolutely not. But it helps. It helps. It helps a lot. So this vocal prayer, linking it with our breath, it really goes and elevates our mind to a state of prayerfulness so we can feel God's presence. And yeah, it can be as simple as doing the Our Father with our breathing, or it can be the Jesus prayer that I mentioned before. And also, this is something that I personally do just when I'm feeling anxious or overwhelmed, or not, just the middle of the day. It's a beautiful meditation practice to just link our breathing with a prayer. So another important part of this too is what's called diaphragmic breathing or belly breathing. If you've ever done yoga, you know what that is. Essentially, when we inhale, our stomach rises, exhaling, it falls. It's a more deep and refreshing breath. It's how we breathe when we're asleep. It's how we breathe when we're babies. So that's part of it too. And it's how I need to breathe when I talk too much, because I hold my breath when I speak, and I need to stop doing that. But inhaling, exhaling. I'll do this when I'm doing the dishes, mentally. Inhale, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Exhale, have mercy on me. I also love Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Longer ones, a little bit longer, probably a little better though. So I really enjoy this too, and this comes from the spiritual exercises. This can be a great way to get our minds in a place before we do imaginative Ignatian prayer as well. So yeah, those are the two down-to-earth exercises that I am presenting in honor of St. Ignatius of Loyola. There are many more. If you're interested, please check out his writings, his spiritual exercises. There's a lot more we could get into, guys. There's the Examen, which is a examination of conscience, which is going to help with discernment. It's going to help with our imaginative prayer. There's a lot more. But I think those two are kind of key. Well, Ignatian imaginative prayer is key. The third prayer, the third way of prayer, I just think it's cool. So I hope you've enjoyed this. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, where can I go to escape you? If I ascend into heaven, there you are. If I make my bed in the depths of Sheol, there you are too. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I go to the far side of the sea, even there I will find your hands. Your right hand will hold me strong. God, you are everywhere, and you can speak to us in various ways. And the great Saint Ignatius of Loyola reminded us that even in our minds, our imaginations, our dreams, and so on, you can speak to us there too. So please speak to us. Continue to speak to us, for I already know you are. But open our ears, our hearts, and our minds so that we can listen to the symphony of your love, no matter where we are. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Thank you for listening to another episode of Saint Anthony's Tongue. I have been your host, W. God bless you, and until next time.